The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The two disciples told the 11 and their companions what had happened on the road to Emmaus, and how Jesus had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. So once again, we welcome Oakley and family as he prepares to celebrate his first Holy Communion. Also, some families who have been doing First Communion preparation before Mass tonight in the parish hall, welcome. We gather together to celebrate this beautiful gift of Easter and the resurrection. And with that, I'm preaching a new message series that started last weekend when I was at St. Joseph's and St. Ursula's. It's called, "We Are an Easter People, Joyful Signs of the Gospel." And so if you missed last week, you can go to the chathamcatholic.ca or parish website, click the link. Next weekend, I'm at Our Lady of Victory, so there'll be a break. But then the week after, I'm at St. Ursula's, St. Joseph's. And again, if you have problems sleeping, you could also play that, and I'll put you right to sleep. Isn't that awesome? Right. So I'm getting this homily or message series, "We Are an Easter People." You may have heard this before. St. John Paul II in 1986 said this when he was visiting Australia during the Angelus. He said, "We are an Easter people, and Alleluia is our song. We are not looking for a shallow joy, but rather a joy that comes from faith, that grows through unselfish love. We realize joy is demanding. It demands unselfishness. If we're going to be an Easter people, we're going to be joyful in the resurrection, it means we have to be unselfish. We have to give our love, give our joy generously away to everyone, but especially those who have not experienced the resurrection and Easter joy in Jesus." And so in the first homily, I talked about Easter joy demands unselfish love, growing the gift of new life for everyone around us. When we're joyful and we share that joy, other people become joyful and it grows. As part of this sense of mission, Jesus appeared to the apostles and said, "Peace be with you." We share that joy. And when we share that joy, the resurrection, that deep sense of joy, that our lives are different because Jesus had died and rose again, it grows. So in this homily, I want to look at this, go a little bit deeper. Easter joy requires us to be distinct witnesses of Christ and the resurrection. Our generosity, our compassion, our forgiveness, our service is not simply acts of charity. It's not simply to make ourselves feel good, maybe just to help others, but it's a response to Christ's love, who died and rose again and changes our lives, that he feeds us and strengthens us in a special way. Oakley's going to receive his first Holy Communion. He's going to receive Jesus in his heart, and it's going to strengthen him to live his life differently than the world, differently than before, more filled with love, more filled with grace, more filled with hope. And we hope that others see that in us, not ourselves, but see Christ in us. That's that distinctiveness. That's that difference. Do people or will people recognize Jesus in our lives? So in the gospel, we just heard Jesus telling, he breaks open the scriptures to them and tells them, kind of gives them, you know, connecting the dots to the resurrection. And he said, the Christ is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. So Christ's mission of healing, forgiveness, reconciliation continues from Jerusalem, from that moment with the apostles to the ends of the earth, including us here and now, to be witnesses. That means to testify and to say how Jesus changes our lives, and not only, not so much through words, but in our actions, show that. And to live our lives differently, that then has people around us see Christ, see the risen Lord, that he's alive. And so what's that kind of distinctiveness, this uniqueness that we've been commissioned to be testifiers to this, to be witnesses to the truth? Pope Francis said back in 2023, witness, therefore, cannot be separated from consistency between what one believes and what one proclaims and what one lives. One is not credible just by stating doctrine or an ideology. And we're witnessing is not being able to quote canon law or quote liturgical law, even quote the scriptures. That's an act of memorization. Our faith is not an ideology. Our faith is not just proclaiming, saying, I believe, but it's how we live, how we serve, how we're willing to sacrifice, how we're willing to embrace suffering, not for our sake, but for the sake of our love for Christ and our love for others, that others may benefit, others may grow, others may be healed. Again, that distinctiveness, how our lives are different by coming to Mass tonight, by receiving the Lord in our hearts. How does he help us be him in this world today? At school, at home, in the workplace, in those areas of darkness that we're sent out. Does anyone know where this is and what this is? Anyone? You could shout it out. It's on Park Avenue, yes. And what is it? It's a Coke bottle sign. Yeah, it's in front of the bottling plant for Coca-Cola. I took this photo this morning. I was going to go yesterday, but it was raining. It's a much nicer photo. Yeah, so you automatically knew what it was. Absolutely. I want to talk about this for a moment. The development of the Coca-Cola bottle. You know, in 1916, Coca-Cola had a lot of different competitors, soda competitors, and they wanted to distinguish themselves. They wanted to be different than all the others, that people would know Coca-Cola. And so what they did, and by the way, this is not an endorsement of Coca-Cola, it's just a great story, okay? What they did is they put out a contest for design companies in 1916 and asked them, we want to redesign our bottle so that people know our brand. And they only gave two stipulations. And there's the 1916 bottle. Two stipulations. The bottle needs to be able to be identified by feel in the dark or broken on the ground. That if someone took the bottle in the dark, they knew that was a Coca-Cola bottle, or if it was broken on the side of the road, okay, that was back then when the bottles were glass, by the way. Right, everybody, I remember that. That they would recognize that that was a Coca-Cola bottle. And there was one company in Indiana, in Terre Haute, one person that came up with, this firm came up with the bottle that we know now. By 1949, 99% of North American people could recognize the Coca-Cola bottle without any labels on it. 99% knew right away. Isn't that amazing? And when I think about it, when I heard this story, I thought about, you know, what about us if we're going to be followers of Jesus? How are we identified? You know, what an interesting way is that in the dark or broken, people could identify that Coca-Cola bottle. How about us in the midst of the darkness and challenges of our lives, in the brokenness of our lives? Will people see Jesus who is alive in us? Will they be able to recognize, because it's easy to be a follower of Jesus and easy to proclaim the good news when everything's going well in our lives, when things are going good. But oftentimes when we face those challenges, those struggles, those difficulties, sometimes faith can slip away. But we want everybody to see Jesus alive. And wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to see that in the midst of our challenges, in the midst of our brokenness, that we remain faithful? That's one of the ways we can be very distinct. And I want to share two quotes of two examples. Nelson Mandela. As I walked out the door toward the gate that would lead me to my freedom, I knew if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I'd still be in prison. After 27 years in prison, the world would not blame him to be bitter, to be angry, and to seek vengeance. What did he do? He forgave. Just like in the gospel, I want forgiveness and repentance to start from Jerusalem to the ends of the world. You are witnesses to these things, and Nelson Mandela, as a Christian, witnessed to that. St. John Paul II, 1981, May 13th, assassination attempt. This was a quote of the Holy Father's when he went to go visit him a couple years after in prison. I was able to meet my assailant and repeat to him the pardon I gave him immediately. That was right when he was shot. The Lord gave us the grace to meet as men and brothers. What did he do? Forgave. How will people recognize that we're followers of Jesus and that he, not only that, that he is alive? What sets us apart from the rest of the world, the rest of our culture and our society, that shows that we are a sign of contradiction, a sign of a better way to live our lives? You know, just like Oakley, as he journeys and becomes a stronger and growing Catholic, how is he going to be able to serve and love the Lord, even in the midst of the challenges and difficulties? We have a few things happening in our family of parishes that's going to help us be distinct witnesses. Alpha is coming back. The information's in the bulletin. If you want to know about faith, if you have people that are wondering about the Christian faith or have drifted from coming to church and living their faith, invite them free of charge. It starts in May. Information's in the bulletin. It's for Catholics, those who have drifted away, and people who are interested in an introduction into the Christian life. That's one of the opportunities that we can be witnesses. We have our young adults group, 18 to 30 years old, starting up in May as well. Spread the news. We're going to be inviting young people, young adults, to gather together to pray, to share, and to serve, so that we can be distinct witnesses, so that in the darkness and the struggles and the brokenness, they see Jesus alive in us. That you might not see very well, but there's information in the bulletin. There'll be more about our path of solidarity and truth and reconciliation with our Aboriginal brothers and sisters. We have a committee in our family and parishes working on things, but also our diocese is offering information and opportunities for us to develop a new friendship as we move forward in a new relationship. We have Into His Likeness. This is going to be a summer series that we're going to be looking at from Formed to try to become more like Jesus, to be those witnesses, to be set apart, that people can recognize us in everything we do. They recognize Jesus who is within us. Last things, share three things about being a distinct witness. First, seeing the deeper opportunity of revealing Christ's light and love. What do I mean by that? Nelson Mandela saw the bigger picture and knew the deeper meaning that he needed to seek forgiveness. He needed to let go so that he and South Africa could move forward. St. John Paul II, recognizing the call of his example, he saw the bigger picture and the calling of Christ and went deeper and forgave and generously forgave and kind of moved forward. Where can we, because sometimes when things happen to us or we have the opportunities, we kind of think about, how does this affect me? But if we look a little bit deeper, say, how can I be an instrument and create an opportunity for people to see the risen Lord in what I say or in what I do, or sometimes what I don't say or what I don't do? Second, know Christ, know the faith, and make it practical. Lots of opportunities in our family and parishes, I named a few, to really know Jesus as the risen Lord. We can't proclaim him, we can't witness to him if we don't know him. To understand the gift of our faith, to deepen our faith, and then to make it practical and real, make it real in how our faith helps us make choices each and every day in our lives. And finally, I think the most effective way to be a distinct witness is in times of darkness and brokenness. When we go through pain or suffering or loss or struggle, let's turn to the faith, turn to the sacraments, turn to the scriptures, turn to signs of hope, because it's not only about us, but it's about those around us who see us determined, even in the sufferings, even when we face illness, when there's doubt, when there's problems in our families, in our relationships, maybe in our workplace, that we persevere with that bigger picture. And the Lord gives us that grace, gives us that love. So Easter joy requires us to be distinct witnesses of Christ and the resurrection, just like a Coca-Cola bottle. Did you ever think you would hear that connection in a homily? Well, there you go. We are an Easter people. Let's look for those signs of the gospel, and let us be those signs of good news.